Beautiful song, great truth. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And that's what we need to do. Praise the Lord. I need to be able to rejoice, so I need to announce Ladies Fellowship tomorrow night. I forgot that. I can't believe I missed that announcement. It was right there. And it's just like, I don't know, but I was reminded. And Ladies Fellowship tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. You will announce this or else. No, it doesn't really say that. But anyway, Ladies Fellowship, 7 o'clock. Ladies, please come. It'll be a blessing. Fellowship, Bible study, eating, all kinds of good stuff. The only thing not allowed is gossip. Amen? So often makes me wonder if that's why some don't come. Anyway, but let's move on. All right, 2 Peter. Yeah, I know, and it's easy for you. 2 Peter chapter 2. Passage that is just a powerful, powerful passage of how God is going to deal with and judge sin, and very, very clear sinners as well. And you know, I often think. In fact, the other morning, very early in the morning, I wasn't necessarily trying to argue with God or anything. I mean, I know that doesn't do any good, but I was thinking, God, it just seems that. You'll spare some people. You'll maybe change your mind about a couple of things. And you know how you get sometimes. You're concerned about folks that are lost and people that are. I guess you know, you think about those that that are in heathen countries and certainly we need more missionaries out there. And I was reminded again of this passage of scripture where very, very clearly we find that God is the unsparing God. And that's what I want to talk to you about. God cannot spare those who are under condemnation unless they trust Jesus Christ as Savior. It is not possible. God has to deal with sin. He must deal with sin. It's one of the things that we get criticized about often, because that is the preaching that God must deal with sin. But that's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. That's the law. That's how it is. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is the Bible. That is exactly what it says. But praise God. And people want to say, well, you Baptists, you're so negative and everything. But it's not negative, because Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And there is salvation in Jesus Christ. And there is a way to escape certain punishment in hell, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And but those who choose to not trust Christ as Savior, my Bible says not only are they condemned, but they're condemned already. They're condemned already. It is a done deal. It is going to happen. And though sometimes I think, boy, it'd be nice if there was no hell. It'd be great if there was no punishment. That is an impossibility, because God has already said it is as if it's already taken place. Hell is already there. Hell already exists. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, the demons, and God must deal with sin the way God said he was going to deal with sin. But praise God, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have been forgiven for your sins, and your sins are under the blood of Jesus. They're obliterated by the blood of Jesus, and praise God for that. And this passage talks about that, and I just want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the unsparing God. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. I do thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace, as the choir sang about a little while ago. Lord, you are so gracious to us, and yet, Lord, help us to realize that you are a God of justice, and that punishment is going to take place. And it does take place. And God, help us to understand that you cannot spare those who do not come by the way of the cross. You cannot spare those who have chosen sin over the Savior. You cannot spare them. And help us to see that today. And help us to understand that that sin has to be dealt with. And so I pray that you will bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I just finished on Wednesday night. I'm talking about the people of Proverbs, and I just finished, I believe, 2 weeks maybe I spent talking about the merciful person. And the person that shows mercy in the Bible, of course, they are showing one of God's traits, one of the things about God that is so obvious in Scripture, and that is God is a merciful God. He is merciful. He does not compromise truth with mercy, but He works truth and mercy together, and the truth says that the wages of sin is death, but God in His mercy sent His Son to die for us. And therefore, God makes it all just, and God makes it all equal, and God balances it out, and therefore, a lost person can get saved and go to heaven. A person who deserves hell can get saved and go to heaven, and not be punished for their sin. That's where we are. Doesn't make us any better than anybody else. Bible talks about, when it talks about sins and listing sins, says, but such were some of you, but ye are washed. And we're washed in the blood of Jesus, and praise God for that. But understand that in God's mercy, in God's grace, in God's love, there is still a punishment that is going to take place. There is a punishment that is taking place. Now watch this. Chapter 3, and 2 Peter spends a lot of time talking about this, but chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Again, you know, God doesn't have a clock that he's keeping an eye on and all of that. I mean, for God, time doesn't exist. God is eternal. He's in the land of no time. Amen. And we were talking in my Sunday school class about our mansions, and I believe it was Joyce said the thing that we were talking about what people wanted in their mansions. We had all kinds of great answers, like chocolate and stuff, but it was a very spiritual meeting. But Joyce said, no clocks, amen? No clocks, and I like that, because again, with God, everything is just, it just happens with God. And you and I are, you know, we watch the clock and the calendar and everything else. And with God, everything, it just, you know, one day is like 1,000, 1,000 is like one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. But when's God going to deal with this? When's He going to take care of this? And how long are the ungodly going to be able to do what they're doing? And, well, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But God's patient. God is waiting. By the way, praise God for that. Praise God. I've testified many times of how I got saved after listening to a message about the second coming and in my mind thinking about the rapture taking place and me being left behind. And God used that to speak to my heart. And I remember when I trusted Christ, I bowed my head. I asked Jesus into my heart. And one of the first things I said afterwards was thank you, Lord, for not coming before I got saved. And praise God. And if you're saved today, you need to thank God that He didn't come, or you didn't die before you trusted Christ as Savior. God is patient. God is not willing that any should perish. Do you understand? God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. God is not in heaven looking down saying, oh, if I could just send more people to hell. No, God holds everything back because He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But God is a God of justice, and the law is the law, and the law is set, and death is a result of sin, and death in hell is the result of sin. And God's done what He could. He sent His Son to pay the price. I mean, honestly, people can complain and gripe and everything. Well, you know, and in heaven, you know, in hell, nobody's going to be able to, because obviously at the great white throne judgment, it's going to be very clear. Their mouth will be stopped. There'll be nothing to be said because they'll know God made a way. God made a way. I don't know if you've ever tried to talk to somebody about being saved and they get nasty and they get rude and, well, I like my life the way it is. You know, it's sad that that's their choice. But God has to do what He says He's going to do. But He doesn't want to. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to repent and get right. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. God must punish sin. He has to. It is as positive, as important as anything in His Word, that He keep His Word and He punish sin like He said He would. That is what He said had to happen. You'll notice in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It's always been like that. There have always been false prophets. There have always been false teachers. There have always been people that have brought in damnable heresies. Always. That is not just in our day. That's always been. That's in the days of Noah. That's in the days of David. That's in the New Testament days. That's in the days of the early church. That is in our day today. It is always that way. False prophets, false teachers, people that bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. What? You know, the Lord who paid the price for everyone. I mean, there have always been people that go against that. And the Bible goes on and says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And there will be people that actually speak evil of the way of truth. It's always been that way. You know, somebody, I told Dale, I said, in fact, he brought it up. And he said, yeah, did you read the paper? And there was this article that I should not have read. I really shouldn't have read it. And I always say on Sundays I should not read these things, and I'm not going to talk about it. But just again, somebody, you know, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Anytime somebody says, well, God says this, and ha, 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 and I don't think that's the way it ought to be. Let me tell you something. Those kind of people, they are exactly what this is talking about. You know, don't tell God what to do. Don't tell God He's not just. Don't tell God that He shouldn't be able to do this. Hey, this is God's Word. It is absolutely perfect. Amen? And we have no right as human beings, we who are dust, have no right to tell God anything. And these, Bible says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. How could anybody speak evil of the blood of Jesus Christ? How can anybody speak evil of a God who provided a way so that people could be saved? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. How could anybody speak evil of that? But you notice verse 3, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You know, all that's saying is this. It's saying judgment is already set. It will not be reversed. It is going to take place. Just like God said in His Word, it will take place. Real quick, John chapter 3, verse 18. Look at it with me. It's a verse we hear. It's a verse we probably many know. But I want to show you, I want you to make sure you see it. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, that is already done. They are condemned already. And unless a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are condemned. There is no way out of that. It's not, well, maybe we could just appease God somehow. No, there was only one thing to appease God. That was the blood of His Son. Look, there is no, well, we'll do this or we'll do that. No, that doesn't work with God. God said, here's what you do. By the way, it's no different than in the Passover. God said, take the blood and sprinkle that blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and that is it. Otherwise, the firstborn dies inside your house. Okay, if you we'll sprinkle the blood over on the windows, then the firstborn dies. Well, we'll use the blood of another animal because we don't have a lamb. No, then the firstborn's going to die. Well, we'll use red paint instead of blood. That ought to work, and the firstborn's going to die. You're not going to get out of it. You're not going to try to finagle and figure out some other way. I think a lot of times we as Christians, we think maybe this is all, you know, God's just getting us ready and He's going to change everything. He's not. So if you have a lost loved one, if you have a lost friend, if you have a lost co-worker, you better talk to them, you better love them enough to pray for them, you better do everything you can to try to get them saved, because it isn't going to change unless they get saved. Because my Bible says they're condemned already. It's not popular. It's not feel good. It's not like Burger King churches today all over the world that are just wanting everybody to feel good about themselves. But it is the truth. It is what the Bible says. You see, God is the unsparing God. He cannot spare the lost. It is an impossibility. He cannot let lost people go to heaven. He cannot let sin enter into heaven. Therefore, the sin must be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It cannot enter into heaven. And so there will be no lost people in heaven. It will not take place. The judgment, according to verse 3, it is already set. Their damnation slumbereth not. They are condemned already. It will not be reversed. It is impossible. It is impossible. I can remember when this truth came to me as a new Christian and I realized that I had parents who were lost and grandparents who were lost. I remember praying all night long one time with a group of men, begging God to save them. I remember weeping. But you know what's sad is we somehow think, well, it'll all go away. It's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. And you need to keep praying. You need to keep weeping. You need to keep doing everything you can to get the lost saved. Let me just show you the proof of that here in the Scripture in reference to the unsparing God. Number one, the Bible gives us, and it gives us some examples here. First of all, God didn't spare Satan and his demons. They're not going to be spared. They haven't been spared. You'll notice what it says in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Talking about Satan and his demons. Now, God is not going to spare them, and God has not spared them. Oh, every now and then someone will say, why didn't God just grab the devil and choke him? Oh, God's going to grab the devil, all right. And God's going to cast him into the lake of fire, all right. And it will happen, and his demons will go with him. But God has his timing, and his timing is always perfect, but it's going to happen. There's no question about it happening. I mean, the devil is going to get his. Demons are going to get theirs. Let's just do a little study here. Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. And then we're going to go to Ezekiel. Every now and then somebody will say, where did this devil come from? Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Very clearly, God tells Satan where he's going. No question about it. But Satan brought it on himself when he said, I will. Satan brought it on himself when he said, God, I know what you say, but here's what I'm going to do. Satan brought it on himself. The demons that followed brought it on themselves by saying, hey, we don't like the plan. We want to do it our way. Isn't it interesting? The scripture says, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we see men all over our world today, whether it be in religion or politics or whatever it might be, who are standing up and saying, this is what I will do. And this is what I think. But wait a minute. What about what does God say? What about God being God? You know, you don't have to get into the Bible very long. And you see Cain doing his own thing. God says, I want a sacrifice. And I'm sure God made it clear what kind of sacrifice. Cain said, wait a minute, I want to do it my way. What about my way? Well, it sounds like today, doesn't it? Isn't that really the battle that every one of us has? I mean, seriously, the only reason that you and I sin is because we want to do it our way. The only reason we sin is because we say, well, I know what God says, but I want to do what I want to do. I mean, that really is the essence of sin. And iniquity is, hey, I want to do what I want to do. But I've got news for you, folks. God's not going to spare the devil and his demons. Look at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And verse 11. Ezekiel 28, 11. Again, talking about Satan here and some things about him. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Hey, you know, Satan was. He was the anointed cherub. Beautiful, beautiful angel. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. I mean, you talk about, the devil, you know, as the anointed cherub, he was in charge of the music, and it was absolutely beautiful all the time. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. And Satan's heart was lifted up with pride, and he said, I will. And he's not going to be spared. You say, well, yeah, preacher, we know the devil. He's wicked. He's vile. Those demons and everything else. But understand this. Our biggest problem that we have is I will. God deals with that, and he's going to deal with that. Satan, and by the way, most sin, the root in that sin is pride. The root is that pride that says, hey, wait a minute, I'm pretty smart. I can figure this thing out. Look at Jude 6. Jude 6, right before the revelation, Jude 6. Any chapter will do. Thank you. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Notice what it says. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They will not be spared. Satan will not be spared. His demons will not be spared. And in fact, a place is prepared for them. Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, 41. A place has already been prepared for them. Matthew 25 and verse 41. The Bible says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Hell was created for punishment for the devil and his angels. Yeah, hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. For as wicked, as vile, as evil as we think of the devil and demons. And by the way, if you've ever dealt with them, which every one of you have been tempted, obviously, it's always evil, it's always wicked, it's always ugly, and we may say, you know what? They deserve their punishment. Well, if people don't get saved, they're going to be right there with them in the same place that was made for them. And my Bible says it's prepared for the devil and his angels. My Bible says it's reserved unto judgment. It will take place. Now again, if God spared not the devil and his angels, why do we think somehow he's going to spare humans who do the same thing? Same thing. The I wills and the pride of the devil. Come on. Every one of us has had that at one time or another. Thank God for salvation. Do you get the picture? If Jesus had not died on the cross, every one of us would go straight to hell when we die. And we would deserve it. I know. You know, nowadays, boy, religion has become so whitewashed. And we're all good people and everybody's a good person and everything else. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. There is none righteous. No, not one. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for salvation provided by Jesus. Let's go back to 2 Peter. Back to 2 Peter. He did not spare Satan and his demons. Number two, notice what it says in verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I mean, folks, honestly, we know the story of Noah's Ark, and that's one of the reasons the liberals don't want to talk about it, because it is so clear what God did. It is so cut and dry. There is no gray area. You're either on the Ark or you're not on the Ark. Period. You know, people want to waffle all this stuff around and as long as you're sincere, as long as you're good. You know, you could have been sincerely holding on the outside of the ark and you'd have died. No, you had to be in. And also, the thing about Noah's ark that stands out to me so clearly is God shut the door. It wasn't up to Noah. It's not up to any man. It's not up to you going to confess to some man. Where a man could say, well, say 25 hallelujahs and everything will be all right, or put a little money in my palm and everything will be all right. He didn't like that. God closes the door. Just like he did with the ark. Hey, if God would not spare that old world, why do we think God's going to spare people today? Go to Genesis 6. Let's look at it. Let's look at that old world. Genesis chapter 6. And verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I mean, do you understand what that verse is saying? That's a powerful verse. You know, that phooey on secular humanists and say, well, man is just getting better and better and better. No, listen to me. This is what God saw about man in Noah's day. But I submit to you, it's like that in our day. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and we had no clue of what people could possibly be thinking until television, the internet. There is perversion after perversion after perversion that is now, you can see right in the mind of producers, directors, actors, actresses. You can see right in their mind and in their hearts. And I'm talking about unbelievable perversion. Hey, God has seen that in man since the beginning. And as God looked down, the Bible says in verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But I love verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. Hey, Noah was spared. Why? Because he believed God. And because he believed God, God extended his mercy and his grace to Noah, knowing that he would send his son to die on the cross to pay for his sins. But you say, what's that have to do with us? Well, it has everything to do with us. Look at Matthew 24 and verse 37, because the Bible gives us a prophecy of the future. And Matthew 24, verse 37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And you know, I guess if God wouldn't spare the whole world, except Noah and his family, because they were righteous, because they believed God. And I've got news for you folks. Tribulation will happen just like the Bible says. People will die. It will be terrible here on this earth. People will go to hell where it will even be worse. And God is not going to stop it. God's not going to reverse everything. God's not going to turn around and say, hey, wait, let's not do this. Listen to me. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. God didn't spare Satan and his demons. God didn't spare the sinful old world. Number three, also in 2 Peter, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Now, that's a powerful statement right there. Ashes. We're not talking about, Haiti is a terrible, terrible, unbelievable scene. You've been able to maybe look and see some of the pictures. It is unbelievable. But now I want you to try to imagine. I want you to imagine not only everything knocked down, but I want you to understand everything all burnt up and ashes. Every building, everything that man has created. I mean the whole city, Sodom, Gomorrah, ashes, gone. And again, I understand that, a lot of churches, a lot of places, they don't want to talk about, God would never do. God did that. God did that. Ashes. Now, listen to me. This was a beautiful, beautiful land. You know how we know that? Because Lot chose it. It was a well-watered plain. It's beautiful. I'm talking about a place that was maybe as close to being like the Garden of Eden initially. It was a beautiful place. But the people decided to go into all kinds of wicked sin. By the way, that's proof that, changing our environment is not going to change our hearts. Amen? If you just make everything better for everybody, they'll act better. No, they won't. No, this was a beautiful, just like the Garden of Eden was perfect. Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a beautiful place. I'm talking about a place very similar to the Garden of Eden. It was so wicked there, in fact, that in the Bible teaching, God was going to spare it. By the way, God knew the numbers, all right? But God said, okay, he said to Abraham, he said, if there are 50 righteous people in that city, and some say there were 100,000 people, so they're looking for 50 saved people out of 100,000, he said, I'll save the city. I'll spare it. All right? Abraham said, I kind of know that city, and it's not, how about 45? God said, I'll spare it for 45. He said, Lord, I really know there aren't any independent fundamental Bible believing churches there. And how about if, would you spare it for 40 righteous people? I'll spare it for 40. He went down. He said, would you spare it for 30? God said, I'll spare it if there are 30 righteous people. And you understand? It's a beautiful, beautiful area. Wonderful place to live. I mean, they had it made. But there were not 30 righteous people. He said, how about 20 righteous people? Would you not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there are 20 righteous people? God said, I'll spare it for 20. And finally, Abraham said, God, please, 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 please forgive me. But I know the city. I know what they do there. I know the perversions and the wickedness that's going on in that city. He said, if there are 10 righteous people, 10, would you spare the city for 10? God said, I will. For 10. 10 righteous people. But there weren't 10 righteous people in a city of 100,000 people. Are you listening? There weren't 10. That is hard to imagine, isn't it? And it's even harder to imagine when you consider that Lot was an important man. He sat in the gate. He was an important leader in the city. And yet he had no influence at all toward righteousness. The Bible says about Lot, he was just. The Bible says about Lot, he was righteous. But he had no influence. By the way, he not only had no influence to the city, he had no influence in his family. Yeah. And you know, it became ashes. It's interesting. And just something to think about. The Bible says that the old world in Noah's day was destroyed by water. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire. Look at a verse in Isaiah 43. Just mark this down by these verses because it's such a blessing. Because I think about this, I think, well, this is so negative. But it's really not negative. It's actually very positive if you'll look at what the Scripture says. The old world was destroyed by water, Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed by fire. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. Amen. And if God is your God, if you've trusted Him as Savior, you never have to worry about the water or the fire. But boy, I'll tell you what, if you're not saved, you better understand He cannot spare you without Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot be spared. Well, I'll join the church. I'll get baptized. I'll be a good person. Listen to me. You are insulting God Almighty who sent His Son to die for you. Do not think there's another way to get to heaven when Jesus said, I am the way. Do not think that somehow our works, which God says are as filthy rags, don't think those works can replace the blood of Jesus Christ, because they can't. God didn't spare Satan and his demons. He didn't spare the sinful old world. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, Lot was spared. Why? Because he believed God. Huh? And Lot could not change the morals of the city because the people didn't want their hearts to be changed. Huh? That is, you know, what an example to us as far as the United States of America, because I see a lot of Sodom and Gomorrah in the U.S. And it's not just homosexuality. It's all kinds of wicked perversion in our world. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. But notice Romans 11, verse 21. Here's something else he didn't spare. And now we're starting to really get close to home, and we're just about done. Romans 11 and verse 21. Not only did he not spare Satan and his demons, he didn't spare the sinful old world. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. But number four, he didn't spare stubborn Israel. Romans 11 and verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. That's talking about Israel. That's talking about His people. And if His people do not get saved, they will be dealt with just like any lost person. As the Jews showed unbelief, God has judged them. That's what the Bible is. Come on. I mean, we read about the captivities. We read about God dealing with people. We read about it over and over and over again. And somehow we get this idea, well, you know, but God's going to change His mind on all that. He didn't do it with His own people. And He's dealt with them. And boy, have they been dealt with. Huh? I mean, God has dealt with His people. By the way, the tribulation that we are talking about and that we look, we talked about the Antichrist and all of that the other day, and I believe it's coming soon. That tribulation is all about God dealing with His people. That's what the tribulation is. The Gentiles are just caught in it. I'm telling you, God's wrath is going to be poured out. And it is going to be unbelievable. I mean, Hitler and the Holocaust is a terrible, terrible thing. Isn't it amazing how history books don't even want to talk about that anymore? I mean, it really is. You hardly hear anything about it. That was unbelievable, the atrocities that took place. But understand, those are God's people. Well, where's God? What are you doing, God? Oh, they're God's people who said, God, we don't believe what You said. We've not accepted Your Messiah. Now, I'm sure there were many that got saved and trusted Christ and still went through some terrible things, as we do. But I'm just saying, as a whole, God is not sparing His stubborn people. But He's dealing with them. You look at little Israel, surrounded by people that absolutely hate them and want them wiped off the map. You'd never believe it unless you didn't read the news and study history. People that absolutely hate them. Little piddly, look on a map sometime. Little old Israel right there. Surrounded by millions who hate them. And that's not an accident. God is dealing with His people. Now, again, I ask you this question, okay? How, if God won't spare His own people, how in the world do we think God is going to spare anyone else? Cults, isms, everything else in our world, liberals that deny the Lord, and somehow think they're going to get to heaven. Again, I'm not criticizing other religions. I'm just saying, Jesus said, I am the way. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. So it doesn't matter what other you're talking about, there isn't salvation in any other. It's not that Pastor Rogers is the only one that's right. It's that this is what God said. And that is bigger than anything. Look at Matthew 7:21. Who are these people? I've thought about this so many times. Who are these people? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. Wait a minute. What is somebody doing saying, Lord, Lord? Who are these people? This isn't the atheist drug strung out person. This isn't the radical nut Hollywood people that are living perverted barnyard lifestyle. That's not this person. Who is this person? This is somebody saying, Lord, Lord. Are you all with me here? And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? It's to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. That is the will. That is the way. That is the only way to get to heaven. Wait a minute. What's it say here? Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord. And again, we're not talking about drug pushers here. We're not talking about those involved in immorality and involved in all kinds of immoral sins and all that. We're talking about somebody saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils. And in Thy name done many wonderful works. Who is that? Well, that's people sitting here. That's people in church today. These are religious folks here. These are people that go to church. These are people that serve in church. And these are people that did something in church, and they said, "Lord, Lord," and they said, "We've done all these things." And he said, "There's many of them." But verse 23 says, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Well, how did he not know them? I mean, they were members of a church. They maybe got baptized. They got sprinkled as a little baby. Maybe, I mean, come on, these are religious folks. What do you mean? He never knew them. Why didn't he know them? Because they never came to him through the blood of Jesus. And he never knew them. As sad as that is, understand that there are so many people today saying, "Well, I think as long as you're a good person." By the way, I go along with that, but the Bible says there's none good. Well, as long as you're sincere. Okay, but do we understand there is a sincerely wrong? Well, as long as you go to church. Yeah, I hear it all the time. You do too. And you know what's sad? We're starting to fall for it. And we're wimping out. And you know what? You quit praying for that neighbor. And you quit praying for that coworker. And you quit praying for that loved one. And you kind of thought, maybe it, and way back in the back of our mind, somewhere, way deep in our conscience back there, we're kind of thinking, maybe it's all going to smooth out after all. Understand, folks, it's not. Because if God didn't spare Satan and the demons, and he didn't spare the sinful old world, and he didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, and he didn't spare stubborn Israel, he's not going to spare anybody else. I don't care how religious they are. So many think they're going to heaven. You ever been to a funeral where somebody you witnessed to and you told them about Jesus and you asked them to trust Christ and they said, "I don't want to hear that blankety blank stuff and leave me alone," and then you went to their funeral and heard the good reverend get up and talk about how they're in heaven today and you sat there and wept? You know what? You need to keep weeping. You need to not let the world change your thinking that it's all going to work out and God's going to reverse everything and he's going to change his mind, because he's not. He tells us in his word he didn't spare any of these others, and he's not going to spare anyone unless they come to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. The key for every one of these is they did not believe what God said. They didn't trust Christ. My last point, last argument, Romans 8, verse 32. And this, to me, this pretty well settles the whole thing. And in the context here, it's talking, of course, about how God has so many things to give us. But God didn't spare Satan and the demons. He didn't spare the sinful old world. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, and he didn't spare stubborn Israel. But not only that, he didn't spare his own son. Romans 8, verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" It was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. And he hung there, and God at any time, the Father, could have stopped it all. I don't know how he didn't stop it, to be honest with you. I just can't, I can't even imagine it. I mean, those that Jesus is dying for are looking up and cursing him, and the spit that they had spit upon him is dripping down his blood-soaked body. And I don't understand how the Father didn't just say, "Stop!" and just call the angels to slaughter everyone. Honestly, it amazes me. It should amaze you. But God didn't spare his own son. Why? Because he loves us. That's why he wouldn't spare his son. That's how you and I can go to heaven. He didn't spare his own son so he could spare us. Jesus bore our sins on the cross, and God's wrath, every bit of it, was poured out on him. When you reject him, I got news for you. God's wrath won't spare you from hell. And those who reject him, God's wrath will be poured out upon them. The punishment that was promised years ago, that was guaranteed, that is the reason why the Bible says we're condemned already. That is going to take place just exactly how God said. He didn't spare Satan and his demons. He didn't spare the sinful old world. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't spare stubborn Israel. And he didn't spare his own son. My friend, if you are here today and you're not saved, I beg you to get saved today. If you're here today as a Christian and you know someone who's lost, but you haven't prayed for them in years, you haven't wept for them. Oh, listen to me. Understand, it's not all going to just clear up. It's not all, hey, the rapture takes place, Jesus comes, he says, hey, listen, just kidding, folks. Just kidding. There's no hell. Everybody, come on, we're going to all party in heaven. It isn't going to be like that. It's going to happen just like God said. Oh, we need to get busy, don't we? We really need to get busy. And we need to let everyone know there is God's grace and His mercy and His love, and it's available to everyone. And you can be spared through the blood of Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. No one's talking, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. How many today would say, preacher, I am saved. I know I'm saved. If I were to die right now, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I know it. No doubt about it. I know I'm saved. Raise your hand if that's your testimony. Thank you. God bless you. That's wonderful. How many would say, I do not know that? If I were to die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. Raise your hand. You're not sure you're saved. Anyone? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I wonder how many Christians would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart as a Christian today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand all over. Pray for me. Please pray for me. Father, bless the invitation. Help us to do what you tell us to do. Help us to know for sure, that God, that your word is true and that it's perfect and that everything you say will happen and that you cannot spare those who are lost. Save the lost, and use us, Lord, to tell the lost about Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 270, just as I am. God's speaking to your heart today. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. If there's something you want to pray about, you come as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. Many have come. If you'd like to pray about something today, maybe you've got a lost loved one. God put their picture in your mind as I was preaching. You thought about them. You come and pray for them. And then, boy, every day, take some time out. Pray for those folks you know are not saved. Pray for those that maybe you've gone soul winning and they slammed a door in your face, or maybe you handed them a tract and they threw it down. Pray for them. Pray. Ask God to give you another opportunity. It's their only hope to be spared. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. Amen. Look up this way, please. All right. 4:30 will be ensemble practice. 5:00, all of our choirs practice. And then also we have our men's prayer time and ladies' prayer time. And then teens meet at 5:00. and 6 o'clock our evening service. Right after the service again tonight, we'll have our annual business meeting and just go over all the reports, praises, and everything. And I trust that you'll be here for that. And certainly pray about that if you would. All right, Brother Don, close in prayer for us, please.
Father, truly we are thankful that you spared not your Son and his willingness to die in our place and take upon him the penalty and weight of our sin to provide for us the hope of eternal salvation in heaven with you. Lord, may we go from this room reminded of that truth and the challenge that we have to share that amongst those we meet this week. Father, we ask that you guide and direct each step, each word, our life. And Lord, bring us safely again tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.